established.
So you want to be a podcaster. Our mission is to encourage and equip you for excellence in podcasting. Your hosts are Andrew Rappaport, host of The Rap Report and Apologetics Live, and executive director of the Christian Podcast Community. Together with Colleen Sharp, host of Theology Gals and chief administrator of the Christian Podcast Community.
Hey, Colleen, do you you want to know my 2 cents on the subject?
On what subject?
Well, any subject, because about 2 cents is all I have. So let's talk about how to monetize your podcast.
But there's a chain shortage, so I thought you were no longer offering your 2 cents.
Yeah, I guess we only need dollars.
I saw that in a meme today, so I had to use it.
So one of the things a lot of people ask questions about, Colleen, is how do I make money off my podcast? And we've been pretty clear that for Christian podcasts especially, if you're looking to make money, maybe rethink it. But you can make money from podcasting, but not everyone can. There's some ways to do it and ways that will help or hurt. And there's been a lot of research you've done with this. So let's talk about how to monetize your podcast. Now, today we're going to go over different ways of doing this, whether it's donations or subscriptions, advertising, using merchandise, or even YouTube. So let's start with donations and subscriptions.
Andrew, you mentioned don't get into Christian podcasting if you're hoping to make money. One of the things I have run into over and over and over again, sometimes in the Christian podcast community Facebook group, sometimes in the secular Facebook groups, is people who say, oh, I need to make some money. I'm going to start a podcast. And then they come in the group and they say, well, I'm getting 100 downloads an episode now. Can I start monetizing? You know, those podcasts that make a lot of money, which I think especially of true crime podcasts, those are very popular. You got someone like Joe Rogan. I've never listened to him, but I know he's always like on the number one of all podcasts and things like that. They get millions of downloads. That they make a ton of money. They have big advertisers, and we're going to talk about that. But I really want to say, be very realistic. If you ever do monetize, it's going to take some time for you to be able to pull in any real money. And definitely one of the things, I know so many people that said, we're going to try to make this a full-time gig. Unless you are really a large podcast, that's just unrealistic. So as I always say with podcasting, be realistic.
Because if you're not realistic, you're going to have false expectations, and then you're going to, well, maybe pod fade. So Let's talk about donations and subscriptions. That's the first thing. And there's a very popular platform that is used for this called Patreon. You want to explain what Patreon is?
Patreon is a platform where people can support you monthly. I think a lot about, you know, when I was growing up, where we had missionaries that we supported every month. It's similar to that, where somebody can say, hey, I will give you $3 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, and on up. And one of the reasons why people like Patreon is because they also offer a tier program. So you can say, anyone who gives $5 a month or more gets this special perk. Anyone who gives $10 a month or more gets this special perk. And I will say, with Theology Gals, we have some people that give, and we don't offer, the only perk that we offer currently to anyone who gives any amount is a 25% discount on all of our merch, which we'll get to merch later. But if you have a larger podcast, you might say, hey, if you give $25 a month, I'm going to send you a free book. If you choose to give that, I'm not saying a free book every single month. There are people that if you give $50 a month or $100 a month, you get a free book every single month. So there's different things, but you have to weigh the cost. One of the big ones that people give, I follow a parenting YouTube channel that has a Patreon. And what this gentleman does is he has special, almost like Zoom meetings with his with his subscribers, and he has special episodes that are only for Patreon. And so there are a lot of different things. And I know you've taken advantage of some of the peer or giveaways, I guess, with Patreon.
Yeah, I mean, we have Patreon now. People have asked with my podcast about Patreon, and I'm in a different category. My podcast is part of a larger ministry. And so people look at my Patreon and say, well, we're pulling in over $1,000 and we have less than 24 subscribers, but we're offering a whole lot more. Now, we do have a membership. We have 8 different levels, and it goes from anywhere from $5 up to $500. Now, people can add more to that. They can customize it, but we have different things that we give. Now, we produce books, so it's easier for us to give something that we're writing, that we're doing. So we have that, and you know, we bring in quite a bit from that. But the thing with this is there are people who really do well with Patreon, usually are doing a Patreon only type of podcast or video. And that really helps to reach out to your audience. If you want to grow that, you want to do some of that. I personally, as a Christian, wonder, I struggle sometimes with, are we doing that and saying, well, we're rewarding people that are supporting us? Yes, we are in a way, but is that a bad thing? Not really. But I'd rather get good information to everybody. So we're trying something different right now. I'm going to start trying to record video of the podcast and put that on Patreon, but they can get the audio for free. So they're still getting all the teaching. I do have an issue as a Christian to say, well, you can only get good teaching if you pay for it. But people are putting time and effort and energy in. They should be rewarded. So Patreon is very popular. It's very easy. It is something where you set it up and they collect the money. They deposit it right to your account and very little you have to do. They have it set up easy so you can go in and figure out what gifts you owe people based on your levels of the levels that you set. Another one after that is PayPal. Now, I use PayPal as well with our ministry, Striving for Eternity. And so people that donate to my podcast, The Rap Report, go through there. But Colleen, what is different with PayPal from Patreon?
Well, PayPal is, I think most people are familiar with PayPal. You know, in the old days when eBay was popular, I think that's when PayPal got popular. PayPal, people can give a one-time donation, and we've had some people that do that. They say, you know, I'm not going to support you monthly, but I am going to send you, you know, one time donation. But there's something else. PayPal does allow people to commit to monthly, and we've had someone do that. So they come in and they say, well, I want to give $25 and I want to give $25 every month. And so PayPal has that option, but you don't have the tiers. It's not organized well for ongoing donations in the way Patreon is with being able to give gifts. You could do that on your own. You definitely could say, hey, if you sign up to give $10 a month through PayPal, we're going to give you this. So you can definitely do that. It's just going to be organized differently.
Yeah, and PayPal is, again, it's easy for people to use. The one advantage to PayPal for folks is the fact that, you know, if you have someone, we had donors who were donating overseas and they could donate in their currency and PayPal would take care of that. But you don't actually have to sign up for PayPal. You can be a guest and still have your credit card charged without actually signing up for a PayPal account. So that is nice. Unlike Patreon, where you have to sign up. But then you can also do, as we do donations through our website. Now, with this, Colleen, there's a lot of different options that they could do. You can have on your website, like we do, we have a link to our Patreon, we have a link to PayPal. So there's a thing called DonorBox, and it is available at donorbox.org. The nice thing about DonorBox is it allows you to customize your donation page any way that you want. And the advantage of that is you can make your page where if you want levels like Patreon has, great, you could do that. But it's seamless into your website. So that is an option. And for smaller ministries, if you're 501c3, I believe they even offer it for free up to a certain level. So that may be appealing to you. But what other things can people do with donations on their website, Colleen?
Well, this is something that I'm going to mention, but unless you are a large podcast, and if you're listening to us, you probably aren't already a large podcast, but maybe you grow and you're getting a million downloads
a year. You know, Joe Rogan called me the other day that he finds our podcast very valuable, I'll have you know.
I'm sure. But you can do memberships. And I'll give an example of a large, well-known Christian podcast that does this, and that is the White Horse Inn. And so the White Horse Inn has a magazine called Modern Reformation that you can get. They send out copies, but there's also, if you're a member, they used to call it, I'm not sure what they call it now, but for years, Brent and I, we were innkeepers. They have, you can be an innkeeper and or an architect and things like that. So, you know, we used to pay $25 a month, and that gave us access to all of their podcasts. They've been on for 30 years. So it's a lot, and all of their magazines. Now, one thing about, now, they only keep, I think, 10 of the most recent episodes public. But if White Horse Inn had the last 300, which is the max that's allowed, they would still have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of episodes that would not be available out there. And so this gives people access to all of those old episodes and to all of the Modern Reformation article. So people pay a membership fee. I know, and I'm not sure what, I think White Horse Inn might have something for like $25 a year now where you can access the old episodes. There's another Christian podcast that's sizable and they charge $5.95. They keep the 10 most recent public, and then they charge $5.95. But Andrew, as you and I have talked about, this is going to target just a couple of different types of people. There's, I know that one of the podcasts I'm thinking of has episodes that are never available public. They're only available to their members. But what other sorts of people would be interested in a membership? And again, this is only as if you have a sizable audience.
Well, I mean, you're going to be interested if you have some sort of content that people want to binge. I mean, they want to go back and listen to all your episodes, or you're going to be doing something that is member-only content. Now, I should say, you mentioned a limit of 300, and maybe some of our listeners went, wait, what? There's a limit of 300? Why? Well, that actually would go back to some previous episodes we did on RSS feeds. There's a limit on how many podcast episodes you can have in your RSS feed. It's 300. If you have more than that, you will want to do something like this, possibly. You know, there are some secular podcasts. Think of many of the ones from Wondery and others, true crime podcasts, where they too will only give about 10 episodes, and then you pay for to the other episodes. So that is member-only content then that they're getting. So if you have content that is binge-worthy, in other words, if you're doing something that is current events, that's not going to be binge-worthy. Because when the current event is done, no one's going to be going back to listen. So if your show is something that's based on current events, it may not be good for a membership where you're saying we're going to put all our old episodes there. It might be worth it if you're doing some member-only content. And so that is where you then have to put more time in. Be aware of that. Same with the Patreon, same with this. When you're going to give extra content to people that are supporting you, remember that that's extra work you have to do. So let's talk about advertising. We talked about donations and subscriptions. How about advertising? There's a couple different views, right? We have small shows. We have large shows. Who is advertising geared toward, Colleen?
Well, so there's a lot. We could probably do several episodes just on advertising, so I'm just going to do a really quick summary. There's many factors to consider. Generally speaking, if you're wanting to go and get, I've been teasing that Oreo cookies and Cheez-Its, because I'm addicted to extra toasty Cheez-Its, and I talk about this all the time on Twitter, on my show, and I've said they should they should advertise on Theology Gals. Well, first of all, the type of show that you are is going to be the first thing that you have to consider. So generally speaking, a larger advertiser is not going to consider you unless you are getting 5,000 downloads in the first 30 days per episode. That's just a general rule of thumb. But sometimes you can get if you're a small podcast, you can get something specific. So I know of a podcast, and they are a podcast about cats. And they don't have that 5,000 in the first 30 days, but they have enough, and they're obviously talking to cat owners on their podcast, that a kitty litter came along and said, hey, we'd like to advertise, because we know that your audience, even though might be smaller, maybe they're getting 2,000 or 2,500 or something an episode, but we know that your podcast audience is our target audience also. And so sometimes you can get something like that. Or let's say back when my dad was selling Ocean Pacific, he worked for Ocean Pacific, and maybe Ocean Pacific, because I had a personal connection, my dad would say, hey, yeah, I will let you advertise our online sales on your show, because he's my dad. I was telling Andrew, I heard somebody say, this week's episode is brought to you by mom. And they said that their mom had a business and was sponsoring the show. So sometimes you can find, there are people who do find advertising that are smaller shows, just considering different factors. They know the owners of the business. And so they'll, you know, this person that they know has, for instance, when we were pretty small, we were approached by a company that sells theology books. So they might not be able to afford to go on White Horse Inn, which is, you know, a lot bigger show and would cost them a lot more money. And our audience would be their target audience.
And the personal connection has a big part to do with it, because you might be someone that they prefer because you have either the relationship with that business or you love their product, and you're going to do a much better job selling it. You know, it is a thing where there are certain things that what you do want to make sure you do when doing advertising is to make sure it's something you can actually stand behind. Do not promote a product that you don't believe in. Especially as a Christian, don't promote a product that you just are doing it because, well, you're making money off this. You want to really be able to say, I stand behind this product, especially if you're going to do something that is called a host spot, because that's one of the things that many people want to do. And before we get to the host spots, though, is there a difference, though, Colleen, between the what we can look to as a smaller podcast versus a larger podcast? If we're a large podcast, can we expect to make thousands of dollars?
One of the things you'll hear about as far as figuring out an advertising rate, Andrew, is something called a CPM, which is a cost per mile. And in podcasting, it's the cost per 1,000 listeners. So if you have right now the going rate, and this fluctuates, and there's different factors to consider, which I'll explain in a second, but the current going rate for a 30-second ad is $18 per 1,000 listeners. And for a 60-second ad, it's $25 per 1,000 listeners. And so there might be different things that play into this depending on your target audience, what the product is, things like that. For instance, I'll give an example. My podcast, our best guess is that we have 80% females listening and 20% males listening.
So you want some hunting products, huh?
Right. If a skincare line wanted to advertise with us, it might be a little bit lower CPM, knowing that only a percentage of our audiences are targets. So there's different things, and depending how that advertiser, or sometimes you can have somebody that represents you as a podcast that finds advertisers for you. That's only if you're a really large podcast. You got 1 million downloads a month, then you should have somebody that does that for you. But generally speaking, you'll be figuring that out themselves. And there's a lot of articles. I'll link some in the episode notes about that.
So that is, the CPM is calculated by the number per 1,000 downloads over a 30-day period per episode. So if you're trying to figure out, am I ready to do the advertising, look at your episode downloads. Are you getting 1,000 downloads per episode over the first 30 days?
If you are, most advertisers will not look at you until you're getting 5,000. But some of those smaller advertisers might, but the big advertisers that you might hear, there's certain ones, if you listen to a lot of podcasts, you hear the ones that advertise on podcasts, those ones are going to require you get at least 5,000.
Now, there's a lot of ways to get advertisers, because one of the things that you could do is to reach out with a company. There are companies that will go and get you advertisers. But remember, if that company stays in business, they're doing it because, well, they're making money. In other words, they're going to take a cut of the money. Now, they may have some advertisers for you, but if you can reach out to someone, it's going to be far better, especially if you have some interest in what they're advertising. So if there's any quilting clubs out there, hey, Theology Gals is the show for you. Well, maybe that knitting might be better. I don't know. But the thing is that there should be, the closer that you have a target audience for what they're selling, the more likely they're going to want to go with you, even if you don't have a larger audience. Because getting 1,000 people where only 20% might be their target audience is going to be different than a show that gets maybe 300 downloads, 300 people, but 100% of them are the target audience. So reach out to folks, and when you're doing that, you want to be aware of who's their target audience, what your target audience is, and if there's a match. And that's what you want to talk up when you're doing, when you're trying to reach out to an advertiser. But there's some other ways to do that. You know, one thing, Colleen, that has popped up recently is called Podcorn. And they try to match up advertisers with podcasters. So this is a service that is new. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to figure out the advertisers that are out there that work with them. And they'll give a description, and they're looking for podcasters that will play them. And what their service is going to do is try to make it easier for the podcaster to find new advertisers and advertisers to find new podcasts. And of course, they're going to take their cut. But that is one form that you could try. It is interesting because they do let some choice between the two parties whether they want to work together. So it may be something you could try. But one other way of doing it, especially if you're smaller, this is how a lot of people work, Colleen, is to get show sponsors. What's a show sponsor?
So a show sponsor, and it can work different ways. This is not necessarily set in stone, but I'll give an example. Some Christian podcasts are in a nonprofit or are under a nonprofit, a 501c3, like Andrew's organization. And he may have somebody that that owns a shoe company. I'm making this up. He doesn't know anyone. Maybe he does. But maybe he knows somebody that owns a shoe company that approaches him and says, you know, I would like to sponsor Andrew Rappaport's Rap Report and give you $10,000 a year. And then in exchange, Andrew, you know, says, hey, I've been wearing these shoes and now I've been wearing them for a month and my shin splints aren't hurting so horribly. I can be on my feet much longer and, you know, stuff like that. So he would do a little host spot. Sometimes you can do a host spot with advertisers too, but I've seen some sponsors work that way.
And so this becomes a thing where with the sponsors, again, if it's someone that you have a close connection with, they might be more likely to sponsor it. So that's something to consider. Now, one of the other things, though, Colleen, is that some hosts provide advertising. And again, pros and cons. But what is show-hosted advertising?
So a couple that we're aware of, and I know there's others, is Anchor. Has some sorts of options where you can have advertisers. I talked to someone that made 72 cents that way. So be realistic. If you're a small show, you're not going to be making a ton of money with that. It's still going to be figured out on a similar CPM minus the host cut. Like Anchor offers free hosting, but then I'm not exactly sure how they work it out. So you have to go read on there. And then there's a new one called Red Circle. And Red Circle has some different things. I'll match you up with similar type podcasts to do some joint episodes or some different things. They will match up with advertisers. But I did want to say here, one thing that Andrew and I have talked about before is be careful with newer hosts, because sometimes there are some smaller hosts that come and they get started and, you know, 6 months later they shut down. So keep an eye. The other thing is go into, when you're going to consider one of these services, go into some podcasting groups and ask, you know, has anyone else used this and what was your experience? For instance, there was a conversation very recently in a podcasting group I'm in about Podcorn. You know, has anyone used Podcorn? And a couple of people said, I'm having great success with it. I've gotten paid. And a couple other people said, yeah, it just really wasn't a great match for us. So you really want to weigh all of those things. So something that works well for one person may not work well for another. And also with considering something like Red Circle, you might want to keep an eye on it, talk to people who are doing it before you take the plunge, because that's changing your whole host. So that's a lot bigger deal. Podcorn is one thing, but changing your entire host is a pretty big deal.
And remember something, if you're getting the hosting for free, it's not free. You are the product. They're selling you. And that's where they're making their money. So just keep in mind, when you do work with someone like an anchor, they're making their money off of your content. You know, so we talked about donations, subscriptions, advertising. How about merchandise? Okay, let's be hip. Merch.
Yeah, Andrew, get with the times. Hold on. I got to find this because I just had a funny meme about this, and it'd be perfect to read right here. Let me grab it.
Well, I am older than you.
Andrew, that reminds me of this really funny meme that I just saw today. I had posted it a year ago, so it came up on my memories. And it says, when someone uses hip lingo such as squad, lit, fam, or on fleek when speaking to me, shut up, I'm not 17. So I thought that was funny. But we're going to use merch anyways, because we're trying to be more 17 or hip. Merch is something you can do day one if you want, because there are ways to do it. There's a few ways to do merch. If you're a smaller podcast, I'm going to recommend you do something like Teespring. Well, there's a couple different ones. They're made to order. I do Teespring right now, although I'm looking to switch to one I'll explain in a second. But Teespring, you can go and design your merch, and you have a store right on their website. People can go right to the website, order a shirt. You don't have to do anything but design it, and you get your percentage. And they actually have a pretty good amount. If you match it to, I'm going to go make 100 shirts next to doing something on Teespring, really, I think you're going to do just as well on Teespring. But there's also some companies like Printiful. They're print on demand. They're also print on demand, but the way you could work it is have a shop on your website. So you're still doing print on demand. And then you can use something like Shopify, which kind of organizes everything. But so you're still doing print on demand, but you're selling it right through your website, and it's all connected. So somebody orders a shirt right on your website, it's taken care of. They make it, they ship it. But you are going to put a little bit more investment into it in getting it set up on your website. And some of these have monthly fees. And so I have a list of print on demand services. I will link it in the episode notes, because there's several of them. And, you know, do your research. But I've been very happy with Teespring. I've been very happy with the quality. Really nice, really, really nice shirts. And We have shirts in, I think, like 15 different colors and 6 different styles. And we have mugs in like 10 different colors. And we even have onesies and hoodies and things like that. Teespring has the most products that I was able to find on something where I didn't have to go and pay to have it put on my own website. And then also that Amazon also has some stuff. You can sign up to do shirts from them, but they're sold right on Amazon. So I don't know if that's something that you want to do, but one of the things Theology Gals has that we've done on Amazon is Kindle Direct Publishing. And so we designed some Bible journals, some sermon notes notebooks for children, some confession and catechism and scripture memory books. And so if there's something, let's say that you are a Read Through the Bible podcast, you could make a book that follows the podcast through a year. So there's different things like that that you can do also. And Kindle Direct Publishing is, again, made to order, no investment required. And, you design everything and you get a percentage.
Now, the other options with some merchandise, in my case, I'm an author, I've written books, those become merchandise that we can sell as well. And so we have with our Patreon, when people do at different levels, they get 1, 2, 3, or 4 books. We've done something different, though, with some of our merchandise that we do with the Patreon, with our different levels, because not only do we have up to 4 books that we can give, but then we have other things where we do Zoom calls, and they would be able to have private 1-hour meetings with us. And so there's things like that that you could do. If you think about it, doing a Zoom meeting for 1 hour doesn't cost you anything and takes very little to set up. So you could do that and offer that to people if there's enough interest in doing that. That is something else that's not your typical merchandise that you think of, but it is something that you can offer that people might have an interest in. Now, one last one that we wanted to talk about is YouTube. Colleen, how can we use YouTube to monetize our podcast?
So there are differing opinions on whether or not you should put your podcast on YouTube if your podcast is not video recorded, okay? So if you basically, and I've done this before, I don't have it on there now, but basically it's my logo and the audio, that is it. And a lot of podcasts do that, but you do have to get a certain amount of subscribers and a certain amount of watch time before you're able to monetize. Now, I think of somebody like Prescribed Truth, Jamal, that's on the Christian podcast community, and he's on YouTube, but he videos his podcast. Sometimes he does it live. And so he's doing a YouTube live where people can type and ask him questions and comment. And so, especially if you have a show that is being videotaped. So Andrew's podcast, Apologetics Live, which is on Thursday nights, it's at 7, is it 7 Eastern?
Eight to 10 Eastern time.
Okay. So I always get mixed up with the time change. So 8 to 10 Eastern. And one thing that he does, which I think is an excellent idea, is if you go on Twitter, it's being streamed. If you go on Facebook, I don't think you're having it live streamed on Facebook yet, right?
Yes, we are. We're actually on several different Facebooks. We're up to, okay, I think, 6 different Facebook groups, pages, and
so the live feed.
And my wall. Yep.
Okay. And then, so Facebook and then YouTube. And so you can go on any of those and watch it live. So when you're doing something like that, you absolutely should be on there. I will say that, you are going to have to get a set amount of watch time before you'll be considered.
And you also need a certain number of subscribers. You need 1,000 subscribers before they'll consider you.
Right. And so this is definitely a way that you can make money. I'm going to be launching a second podcast. That's just a short little podcast. I'm going to put it on YouTube. The reason I'm putting that one on YouTube is because that's where my target audience primarily is. I know I'll be able to attract more people through that. So there's different things like that. There's different communities on YouTube. So if you're doing a podcast that has a large community that hangs out on YouTube, I've learned this with the young kids, then you might want to put your podcast on YouTube, even if you don't have a video feed. But there is a negative aspect on monetizing on YouTube. And you can also monetize on Facebook if you have a large amount of people watching there. But what is the negative with advertising on YouTube?
So one of the negatives on advertising on YouTube is you have absolutely no control over basically with the ad that is on your video. So if you're someone who is very conscious of what you're supporting and you view things that if there's an ad that's on your video, it is your endorsement of it. A lot of Christians don't advertise on YouTube very much for that reason, because if they put it out there, and I have someone who I know who has a very large website, and he will do counter-Mormon material. But because of that, because so much of the information is on Mormonism, what are the ads? The Book of Mormon. Well, he doesn't want that. So he has chosen not to do ads. Why? Because he doesn't want Google, or whoever may be, in this case with YouTube, it's Google, but whoever, to put an ad endorsing something that he would be against. So you have to be aware of that you don't have control. Oh, I know, Google says you can tell them whether you want that ad or not. But if you have any experience with it, you realize that Google pretty much ignores that for the most part. So they say they take that into account, but they're looking to make money. And remember, when they're offering you YouTube for free, you are the product. So they're looking to make money off of you. And so they don't care so much about what your preferences are as much as they care about how much they can make. So this is some ways you can monetize your podcast. We talked about donations, subscriptions, advertising. We've talked about merchandise and even using platforms like YouTube. These are ways you can make money. But again, like we've said throughout this show, please remember the fact that you need to be realistic. Do not expect to have so much come through that you're going to be able to retire from your day job. That is only if you're a large enough podcast that you have enough downloads. Most podcasts are not going to get there. So I hope this was helpful to you on how to monetize your podcast. And now a little promo from the Christian podcast community.
The Christian podcast community is a cohesive group of like-minded Christian podcasters proclaiming the truths of Christ with expertise and passion in the areas of theology, church history, Christian living, evangelism, apologetics, parenting, homeschooling, sermons, and much, much more. So check us out at ChristianPodcastCommunity.org. ChristianPodcastCommunity.org. One stop for all your favorite Christian podcasts.